Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Jim Hoffman for EMS Office Hours. Josh is with me, but he had to step away for a second. So, Josh, Matt,
back.
Are you back? I hear him rattling around. He is back. So, before we get started, I just want to give guys a heads up. I seem to be having some internet issues today. So hopefully we don't get cut off or there's no major issues going on. But we're toying with the idea of maybe using the EMS Web Summit platform to do the weekly podcast to make it a little easier for people to join us by just going to one simple link, and also to even be able to show some screen catch-up stuff and maybe even some websites that we discussed during the show. So maybe we'll toy with that. Maybe we'll test out a couple of shows and see what happens.
Very cool. Very cool. But before we get started today, Jim, I just wanted to say something. Congratulations. And for folks who are listening in tonight, Jim Hoffman, our illustrious host, has been voted by his coworkers. So this is people you actually work with and know you, Jim. This is the part I have a hard time really wrapping my head around. The people that you work with voted you paramedic of the year.
That's right.
That's outstanding, man. That's crazy.
Well, listen, I am very good at pulling the wool over people's eyes, so.
Well, that was that whole thing that we talked about last week, right? You know? I mean, it's not just the patients that some lie to,
it's
right?
It's funny. I got nominated for Paramedic of the Year up here at Ulster County, where I work full-time. And they wrote a nice, I'm going to say, four-paragraph little nomination letter and sent it into the, I guess, the nominating body or whatever, and got a bunch of signatures of my coworkers on there. And I'm not sure how many people I was up against. So it might have just been one or two. But you know what? I'll take it.
I think it's an honor. I really do. I think it's great.
I think so, too.
I'm sort of surprised that, you know, with all the nonsense that we've talked about that happened in EMS and all the backbiting and, you know, backstabbing that goes on, that you know, you made it through all that and you got voted Paramedic of the Year. That says something. Big time. That either you're the most evil bastard on the street and nobody wants to mess with you.
Right. I rule with fear and intimidation. Listen, Josh, I have been on hold too long because I don't want to hang up. I'm going to be able to let them chime on what we're talking about. Hi, who's with us? Is this Bob or Dave or?
This is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, congratulations, Jim. And the thing I was most impressed with was that your daughter tweeted that her father was Paramedic of the Year, and I thought that was really cute when I saw that on Twitter.
I think she's just trying to get followers.
What did she want? Did she want you to buy something for her?
Yeah, she needed gas for the car.
Okay.
No, I think she's got a. She's only got I think she only has like 30 followers, so she's trying to boost her following. Trying to glean some of my followers onto her Twitter list. That's probably probably why. Because she had two followers with a T in their Twitter handle, which was kind of funny.
Your daughter,
I'm like, you're not going to want to know what any of us are talking about. I don't know. I'm like, she's not going to want to know what we're all tweeting about, EMS this and EMS that. You know, she can't list. She's a college student, you know.
She wants to know where the local concert is and where it's here.
Yeah.
Well, I still thought it
funny.
Was
funny. Here we are. Sure. I'm happy. Did we lose Bob?
No, I'm still here. You're like fading out.
Yeah, there's a hell of a delay on this thing. It's just, it's probably the hot sunny day. You know, the moisture got into the switch boxes, and now we're dealing with the cable companies. They're fantastic.
Well,
sure.
It might just be guys. It might be Blog Talk Radio too, because it seemed like I was having no problems all day, but when I tried to get on Blog Talk Radio, it seemed like it was taking forever to load the web page and get onto the switchboard here, you know, the host switchboard. So it's just a little weird. That could be very well be it.
So another nail in the coffin of Blog Talk Radio, and we go to the new format next week.
I like I said, I don't know. Maybe next week we'll give it a shot. We'll like I said, the drawback with the other platform, guys, is that there's no phone number to call in. You've got to have a mic on your computer to go ahead and do that. That's the drawback. You know. So people have to be at the computer or whatever in order to go ahead and call in. That's the main deal with that. You know, I'm trying to, maybe we can test it out. Maybe we can use a little Skype magic with it, maybe for selected callers or something like that. We can give that a shot. You know, Josh, we can maybe we can test it out during the week.
Yeah, we'll tinker. You know what?
We're going to work out.
We'll tinker with it this week and definitely post a bunch on what's going on, you know, so everybody can keep up with that.
Sure.
And we'll figure it out. You know, that's what, hey,
absolutely.
You know, like, what are we about? We're EMS. We adapt and we overcome. And how better a start for EMS week?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we're doing right now.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know if you guys, during the web summit the other day, Peter Canning had a pretty interesting presentation about EMS and where it's been and where it's going, and he kind of went over his career in EMS a little bit and where he's come and what he's taken out of it. To me, that was like my favorite presentation of the day. I thought it really fit into EMS week this year when it comes to the little theme as far as it's not a job, it's a calling type theme. You know, I think Peter really kind of hit home on a lot of those, I guess, key points when it comes to why we're doing this, you know, or why a lot of us stay in the job and what we're about. To me, that was my favorite presentation. A lot of the quotes he gave during that presentation really hit home for me when it comes to EMS and the direction the profession is going and you know, how I myself have evolved.
Well, I got to tell you that, you know, I posted a couple of times that I really have issues with that slogan. It's not a job, it's a calling. And people, you know, responded back, well, you know, it's a calling, it has to be a calling, and all this other stuff. And I sort of felt it was a little condescending. And here's my translation of that slogan. It's, it's an important job, and we want you to do it, but we're not willing to pay you time, respect, or due that should go along with this job. And you want to know something? I don't need a parade in my honor, but I'd like to see EMS around the country start earning a living wage so they don't have to work three shifts to pay the bills. And I've been on that, you know, I've been on this horn before about this. But it's really, you know, when you come out with from the national sort of body, if you come out with a slogan that says, hey, you know what, we're not willing to pay you for this, so you really have to want to do it, is sort of missing the mark, in my opinion. I'll throw that over the bow and see what happens.
What do you guys? Let me ask you this, both of you. You make a good point, Josh. You're talking about working, you know, a bunch of different jobs. I mean, at some point, that it starts, I think, maybe to blend in a little bit. Where for some people, yeah, it is a calling, but they have to work and make it into a job in order to provide for their families by working, you know, two or three jobs. You know,
well,
so it starts to kind of blend each other.
When you kind of look at the other lights and sirens jobs, you become a police officer, there's a whole bunch of different paths you can take. And firefighting, I don't think it's quite as diverse. So you can, you know, there's a difference between working on a ladder or an engine or rescue. Nurses
right.
have pretty much unlimited, you know, ladder, you know, latitude and different things that they can do. So if you take, you know, sort of
right.
the similar jobs that require a similar amount of training to EMS, you know, we're real kind of stuck. Just somebody's in the back, somebody's driving, everybody goes to the hospital. You know, you might do interfacility transfers, you know, the next service over might not, you know, we sort of sell this on the excitement, and then it is for a few years, and then once you kind of get stuck in it, and there's when you don't have other options available to take your paramedic certification, it does become a job. It's something you have to do, and you have to do it a lot because you don't make money, and your lifestyle depends on you doing it a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, what do you think of what I'm saying in terms of the idea that as a national body, the people who are sort of standing out and saying that they represent us, you know, are sort of coming up short on that representation? And I use the slogan for this year's EMS Week as an indicator of that. And you saw, did you see the new FDNY poster?
I believe
you
so.
Got,
is that on Facebook?
No.
Did you put it on Facebook?
I did not. It's out there. A bunch of other people have shared it on Facebook. I did not. I probably should have, but, you know, I just couldn't make myself do it. I mean,
okay.
It looks like a freaking cartoon character. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, it really does. I mean, he's carrying two bags, and it could just as well, you put two bat ears on him and a cape, and it's Batman. I mean, come on. you know. So what are you selling me now? We're not going to pay you, but you can be Batman? I pick up EDPs and tell me they're Batman. I don't need to be Batman.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the national organizations that represent us, you know, EMS and the three metro areas I've worked, EMS is kind of apathetic to take for ourselves. It's like they were so worried about getting overtime and the next shift and the car payment and stuff that people really don't pay attention. Like when they make cuts in the police department, the next council meeting is packed with cops. If they're going to close a fire station, it's packed with firefighters. And I don't see that level
right.
of energy from us. It's just kind of like, Brian Blitzer writes this a lot, we're just kind of like, you know, thank you, sir, may I have another? Whenever we do something happens to EMS, we just kind of roll over, and it's just sort of learned helplessness that we've gotten used to.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I don't want to, listen, Bob, I apologize to you and Jim. I don't want to start this off and turn this start of EMS Week, this podcast, into a bitch session. But, you know, there is a point. Listen, EMS Week is there as a federal, it's written into laws as a federal week of, you know, of not patronage, but attention to EMS services. And unfortunately, it doesn't really you know, focus really on what we call EMS, which is emergency medical services. It's nurses, doctors, emergency rooms. They've all taken a little bit of a piece of the pie.
Yeah, a little chunk of
EMS
it.
Week.
Exactly.
Really. And you've talked about that in past, Jim, you know,
yeah.
And that still hasn't changed that much. And I think it's sort of
no.
What Bob was saying is that, you know, we sort of have this apathetic way about it. And, you know, I'll get back on my soapbox to say that we own this. You know, we cannot afford to be apathetic about it, or we're going to just continue to be abused in the system. We'll be the bastard redheaded stepchildren, shoeless stepchildren.
Yeah. I think Bob makes a good point when it comes to, he mentions about, you know, police officers getting laid off or fire stations getting closed. Is a suddenly a turnout to either stop it and to make the communities aware of, you know, that happening, where if it happens to EMS, it's like, okay, well, who else, who's going to step up and fill that hole? Who's going to, you know, what private agency is going to come in and now park an ambulance on that corner, put bodies in, you know, in the seat, and then have, you know, have it have the shift covered, you know? And I think that's, it's not, I'm not going to say, well, you know, we're not sticking up for each other, but I think it's some part of it is because it's out to make money. You know, the agencies and the companies that run EMS want to try to make money. You know, it's not a singular, you know, fire organization or police that's funded by the agencies that they work in. You know what I mean? It's just funded by the money they bring in from insurance companies. Hello?
Hey, I'm still here. I hear you. You're coming in and out. It's really
I think the loudest statement we could make, and the easiest thing for us to do, is to stop working extra jobs, to stop working overtime, and then when shifts don't get staffed and ambulances get put out of service, then people are going to notice that this is a problem, that you can't pay people minimum wage to work on an ambulance. And
right.
So, I mean, that's another thing that we own. You know, part of it's for our own, you know, lifestyle, maintaining our own lifestyle. But
sure.
we're plugging holes in dams, and eventually it's going to break. And the sooner it does, the sooner there'll be like real change to get things better.
I don't know if it's gonna, you're gonna have that type of a drastic stance, because everybody seems to always trying to protect their little section of the pie. I mean, you take volunteers, and you know, it's not against, you know, nothing against the volunteers themselves, but the model, in my opinion, it doesn't work in most places, and it just further allows the people that run EMS and the people that look to EMS to provide the service to say, okay, well, why pay more than we have to when we've got people doing it for either minimum wage or above minimum wage, and we have even more people out there that are doing it for free.
And I think that's the big, that's the big conundrum. I mean, what Bob said before is like, you know, we got to stop, the first sort of step, Bob, I agree with you 300% on this, is got to stop working the OT and just, you know, got to stop that cross-pollination where we work at three different services. But, you know, when I think about that, it's easy to say, but I could never ask somebody who is trying to make their next car payment or rent payment or feed their kid or save to put their kid in college to say, listen, you know, for the betterment of all of us, you really need to take a cut in what you can earn. I mean, I'm not sure on how to phrase that argument and have it picked up.
But if you need to do that, you probably can deliver pizzas. You could probably bartend. You could probably do a number of other things that require much less in education. If the service you work for pays that poorly, you could probably find another part-time job to spend time with. So it's not, part of it's the money, but it's also, it's something we're comfortable. I mean, and it's fun. I mean, you know, I like most of the people I work with, and it's fun spending time with them. Sometimes I think people with it, it's...
Right.
And I get really nervous when I hear about the whole calling thing, because that kind of implies that MS becomes your life. And I think a lot of people make it their life, and then nothing's left besides it.
I think that's a great observation. That's an outstanding observation. That it, you know, you get involved and it's fun to do and you enjoy the people you work with, you enjoy the jobs, it's fulfilling. And then what happens is you get into a lifestyle, and I have a thing about lifestyle that I'm going to add to this, but you get into a lifestyle and you can't break away from that lifestyle. So it sucks you in. And you know, most organizations, can you work this overtime? Can you pick up these shifts? Can you come in? And then all of a sudden, that's all you're doing.
And that's what a lot of those organizations, that's what they reward. They reward coming in and making it your life much more than the quality of any care. You don't say, oh, you did a really good job managing that STEMI or managing that airway. It's, you know, when we were in a hole, you came through. You know, no matter what in your personal life you missed or gave up to do that, you know, we appreciate you coming in and keeping that truck in service.
Right.
Meet in the seats, boys. Meet in the seats.
Well, yeah. And Peter, and I remember, I read Peter Koenig's book before I became an EMT, and I remember reading that. It's just like, wow, that was the first time I really thought of EMS that way. And it's true. It's been repeated over and over and across all service types.
Yeah, sure. You know what? I think I have another caller on the line. Let me just bring them in because they've been on hold for about 2 minutes or so. So let me get somebody else's take on it. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Who's on the line with us? Is that Tim?
Yep. Waiting two whole minutes? I can't believe it.
I know.
Tim, you're so patient and well-behaved.
I didn't want you to get impatient on me.
Yeah, I like Josh's comments about the guy looking like Batman. Bruce Wayne can afford to do this as a hobby.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's just that you say that, Tim, because there was one other thing that Bob said about lifestyle, and you could sort of pick up a bartending job. Bartending actually pays decently in a lot of areas, but a pizza delivery job. But wait a second. In some areas, you make that extra money with the overtime or something else, and you cannot find a replacement for it. And also keep in mind that there are aspects of EMS that we don't like to showcase. But you know, the other sort of nickname for EMS is earn money while sleeping, and
yes.
You know, there's an aspect of that. You know, you can be on for 24. You may pick up three jobs in the 24 or two. You might be in a quiet area, and you know you're probably going to get one job or a no hitter, and that's, you know, a lot of guys have described it to me as easy money, and I got to argue that when you think what you're doing, how easy.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, guys. I got to go on. But Tim, great presentation. Sorry, I missed you.
Thank you.
So, hey, Bob,
I got to talk to you about going down to Baltimore.
Okay. Yeah, let me know. You got my email.
Okay. Stay safe, man.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, Bob.
I think he should have brought us along and had us talk to the patient and see what the patient thinks.
He's calling.
I won't even rise to the bait here.
I tell you, you know, it, You know, Josh, we talk about doing other jobs and, like, not doing a second job as EMS. I remember when I Fidney might still even be doing it, where the union was going after Fidney employees that were working for the voluntary hospitals, not wanting them to work for the voluntaries, you know, saying that they would take the money out of Fidney's mouth by letting voluntaries put units out and them staffing those units rather than having Fidney putting out those units and staffing with Fidney union members, to the point even where they even had a blacklist that they were circulating with everybody's name on it that worked for a voluntary hospital, you know.
And it's sort of funny,
but it's like, you know, if Fidney's not paying that pay, you know, they're going to work someplace else.
But here's the funny part about it, Jim, is that Fidney is starting to pay up. I mean, guys are more satisfied with what they're earning. And that was a defensive maneuver to sort of protect their own turf for billing. But think of it. If they were able to enforce that, how much better we would be, because there would be limited places that once you had a job, you actually had to make a living income from that job. I mean, I'm sure that would be an unintended consequence of it.
Right, that was your focus. That was it. Right.
That would be awesome. I'm sorry.
Why don't you explain what voluntary hospitals and what Fidney are for the people who aren't from New York City?
Say it again, Tim.
A lot of people don't understand what the voluntary hospital system is, because the only place I've ever heard of that is New York City.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to give a quick explanation, Josh, just so they know what that is?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have the...
Yeah, well, Fidney, FDNY...
Go ahead. Sorry, we're both doing it. You do it.
Am I going to do it? You're going to do it.
Yeah, you're doing it.
Well, Fidney is... They run 911. They provide the 911 ambulances. They're the municipal service for New York City, the Fire Boroughs in New York City. And what they do is they contract out to individual hospitals, or even now sometimes it's even other agencies that will provide 911 services through FDNY dispatch, and they call them voluntary hospitals. And again, now there's a few agencies, I think, that are doing it. They still have TransCare or Metropolitan. We're providing ambulances to run in 911 system, and Fidney would contract that out, and then they would just be put into the system as part of the overall resources for 911 in the city. So what would happen is that these voluntary hospitals or these other agencies would pay actually more per hour than FDNY was paying their paramedics and their EMTs, so they would go and work a sort of a part-time, on-call type status with these voluntary hospitals or these other agencies to make more money.
Yeah, and that's a direct result of what the hospitals want, is they want patients in their door. And what do we, you know, it's beyond people coming to their door and checking themselves into the emergency room. Holy crap, you have a service that brings patients to you. It's better than pizza delivery.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I don't want to get too much into the politics of it and all that stuff. We can go for days on that, too, and get different opinions and outlooks on that. But at the same time, these hospitals and these agencies that were putting these ambulances on the road were saving the city, you know, a ton of money by providing that service that the city just did not have in their budget to provide, to cover all the calls that come in on a daily basis. You know, no matter how great the union wants to say that they can, we have the employees to do it, or hire more employees, the city can't afford to do it. You know, and I'm sure FDNY is not going to be saying, okay, well, we'll put more ambulances out. Well, we won't buy that new fire truck, and you know, we'll put an ambulance out instead. You know,
yeah,
I don't
that'll
see
happen.
That ever happening. You know, so. But again, you can go around with that. But part of it, like what Bob said, is sort of taking that hard line to get things, so that there were a lot of union employees that found their name was on that list, that were quitting the voluntary hospitals and working strictly for Fidney and picking up the overtime to make up the difference of what they weren't making with, let's say, with that part-time job. You know, but the problem is the overtime isn't always a guaranteed salary. You know, so then we end up going back to delivering pizza.
Yes. Oh, please. Tim, I got to ask you a question. You there?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. So, you know, I've heard from Jim, I've heard from me. And by the way, congratulations, Jim, on the Web Summit. And Tim, you know, you did a bang-up job on your presentation. Thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you.
But I got to, you know, what I've never really heard from you is, why did you get involved in EMS? What was your roots?
I started watching emergency medicine, but I never thought I would be able to do this kind of work. Anytime I was around people who were injured, I was the worst thing they did. If they were bleeding, I was pale, cool, and sweaty, and I had to lie down. Although I would, you know, do what I could to, you know, patch them up. But people showing up on scene would look at me like, oh, he looks bad. And it's like, no, he's not the patient. He just doesn't do well.
It's not an auspicious start, my friend.
No. And then as part of, when I knew my daughter was going to be born, I said, I need to go through with this and learn something, because I hated if anything happened to her, and, you know, it's simple to take care of, and I didn't know what to do. And as part of EMT school, I ended up riding with the city medic in San Francisco. We had two major traumas, reaction, and severe chronic system abuse. The guys made headlines here for going to the hospital every day for chest pain and difficulty for years. And I realized, as long as I knew what I was doing, you know, I didn't know a lot then, but as long as I had something to do, I could deal with it. And I got involved in learning more and found out that it was something that I really liked.
And it stuck to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's one of the things, you know, it's like, do we get drawn into this thing, or does it draw us in? I got into EMS, and I've said this before on the show, but now, not to do a long recap, but I got into EMS for a gateway into other jobs. You know, it was a way to get into emergency services. And I sort of stayed in it because, you know, there are aspects of this job that are just, that blow you away, they're just so great. I mean, yeah, we've bitched about a lot of aspects that are tough on it, but this is, you know, there is an aspect that, you know, you are called to go and do. I hate that as a phrase that we use to talk about this EMS, because I think it sort of negates and devalues the aspect that we're really underpaid in what we're doing, and we're sort of underprotected in what we're doing. But, you know, there is some truth in that you have to be sort of a special person to want to step up and help somebody else at their worst time.
Well, we also have a problem of, we don't really know what we're doing. We're trying to do what's right for other people, but we're also trying to protect ourselves from liability. And we get all sorts of twisted around when we mix the two.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, there's truth in that, though. I think that's where we start to, where the part about it being a calling and the part about it, you know, being the type of thing that you're just driven to do. So some people, I wonder if they start out that way, and then once they're doing the job, they start to see things like we've been talking about tonight, as far as, like Tim just mentioned, you end up more concerned about how you're documenting things and the liability involved with it and things like that, and it being a job and weren't thinking about maybe getting an overtime shift or you know, maybe picking up another job someplace else, and then they thought it starts to blend in with each other. I mean, to a point, there's nothing really wrong with that, but I think that there's a reality there that we have to think about as providers, that, you know, it's a calling, but it has to pay the bills.
You know what? I'm going to challenge you on your last statement where you said there's nothing really wrong with that. You know, why, honestly, obviously you said it because you believe it, but why do you think that there's nothing really wrong with you getting immersed and sucked in to the point of the exclusion of all other things to a job? You know, and to some respect, it's tying yourself down to that job.
Well, I'm not saying get sucked in where it's you, everything you live and breathe. I mean, you know, you do have people that, like Bob mentioned, you know, that's all they do. They're constantly at the station. They wear every T-shirt they can that has some type of Star of Life on it. They've got a jump bag in the car. They've got a light. They've got, you know, the flares and, you know, everything else. And everything they do and live and breathe is a job. And, you know, some people, that works for them. You know, but I think when I talk about it blending in together and not being anything wrong with that, I'm not saying being immersed in it, but when it comes to it being a calling and it's something that you get called to as a profession, and then once you're doing it, you start to realize that it's also a job and that you have to take those responsibilities that come along with it on the aspect of it being a job, where the calling level might be more of helping people and, you know, and how you're helping them or how you can help them and being, let's say, a voice for the profession versus the job aspect of it, you know, which is trying to make money to pay your bills and to satisfy what, let's say, the agency you work for needs to get satisfied in order to pay their bills as far as insurance information and, you know, being able to document appropriately. You know, so I think they kind of blend in, and like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with the blending in. But I think just at the same time that when they do blend, it has to be able to pay the bills on the other end of that. You know, part of the thing when I was doing prepping for the EMS Web Summit is that a couple of the speakers that I spoke to, a little kind of like pre-interviews, I had asked them what the biggest challenge facing EMS is, and I think at least two of them mentioned that one of the biggest challenges is how much we get paid, how that is a big issue as a profession. And then we go back to what we talked about earlier as far as working, you know, several jobs and it not being able to be focused on just one agency or just one municipality that we work for.
And I think it's interesting because, you know, when you talk about how much we get paid and, you know, my experience in the corporate world was one where your pay package was the whole experience, your education, your vacation, the pay you got and the benefits you got. And I think that, you know, there's an aspect that mm-hmm. sort of has come up a little bit, and I'm sure Tim would argue the point to the other side, but it would come up a little bit as far as education. I mean, I think our education is definitely better than it was a few years ago or even 10 years ago. I absolutely will agree with you, Tim, if you're going to interject that it's not there. It's not there, but it's definitely better than it used to be. And I think that some of the aspect is that, you know, it's a CYA on the organizational basis because they can't put us out in the field and have us do something and then have that insured if they're not going to, you know, educate us to some standard.
Well, they have to educate us, but we also don't educate ourselves. How many people go to conferences? How many people attended the EMS Web Summit, we don't do what we need to do to learn to be competent people. You hear from people all the time, well, I'm not going to do anything that'll get me in trouble. I'm just going to follow the protocols, and that way I won't get in trouble. But they don't know which are the right protocols because they don't know enough to figure the stuff out. They're just guessing at it. If you're afraid of doing something wrong, what does that tell you? It tells you you don't know enough about what you're doing.
Yes.
And I think,
certainly an aspect,
you know, the other thing too is, I mean, listen, I think a lot of people too, and this is something when we talk about doing conferences and doing some of these online things. I mean, you know, I think GEMS has online one pretty frequently as well, and then the talking about the EMS Web Summit and stuff. People will argue, well, I'm not getting paid forward, so I'm not going to take my time to go do that. They're not motivated to increase their education unless there's some type of immediate benefit to them. They're not looking past the fact that they can maybe use that information down the road.
I think we've been trained to do that, Jim, of not going for something unless we're being paid for it, because every scrap of time that we work, we have to earn something, because we're not being, you know, we're not being compensated enough to do what normal people in business or other occupations would do.
Well, what we do is not normal.
I disagree with that, Tim. I think what we do is very normal. We go to work. We take on certain responsibilities. We execute those responsibilities, and we go home. And that, you know, that is, quote, almost the quintessential American way of life, of having a job, having a family, you know, and doing something. Yeah, our job is different than a lot of jobs and has different hours, but there are other jobs that can be sort of categorized the same. But the aspect is that those other jobs, especially some of that shift work, you know, emergency responder jobs in the other categories, you know, people don't – you know, working three jobs so, you know, they can feed their family. Usually there's one job and some overtime.
Yeah. Bob, I think you're back with us now. I think you're live there.
I am. The person that got hit by a car got up and ran away, apparently. So I'm back.
Oh, I love that.
I do, too.
So you didn't get a chance to board and collar him. You didn't get a chance to go do a full body immobilization.
I didn't. I didn't get to do the slap the back test. I love doing that.
why didn't you run down the road with the if you chase him with the ambulance, he might trip and fall.
Right. Josh, what you were mentioning before, there organizations don't seem to value their people getting educated. And I know someone that actually left to go work for a hospital helicopter service. And the education he gets doesn't directly affect his, you know, the hospital's bottom line, but it's very, he tells me that their people are encouraged to go out and get extra training. They get time off to go to classes, you know, outside even the standard paramedic stuff, you know, they'll go to critical care nursing classes and those kinds of things. I don't think most, the meat in the seat thing, I don't think that... You know, I was weird for being on the Web Summit. Like, if I have time between calls, why would I not be watching TV or being on Facebook or doing something else that's not, you know, productive? It is people that go out and do that stuff are kind of like the weird outliers.
I guess there's a certain aspect that you know that's that's a statement you can agree with. I mean, I'll tell you, I got on the Web Summit in the morning, and I was telling my wife, I was like, listen, I'm going to spend an hour on this thing. I'm going to support Jim in it, and I got to do some other stuff. And I ended up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it got to be, oh, my God, I have stuff I have to do today before I go to work tomorrow. And I had to break away for a couple hours, and I didn't want to. I mean, every speaker was riveting. Every presentation was like, holy crap, this is great stuff. And there's an aspect of when you're introduced to new things within this world that can make you better at what you do, you want to listen, because it's frustrating to go out onto a job and not know the ins and outs of the disease process or the ins and outs of what's going on so you can better treat your patients. I mean, to me, that's, you know, I understand what Tim was saying before about there are people out there that just don't go and educate themselves. But if you're driven to this job, you know, you're driven to do better. It's sort of the personality that makes you want to go out and get better. I don't know.
We've got to kind of live that slogan, don't we? I mean, don't we have to kind of live that? If they're saying that it's not a job, it's a calling, I mean, there should be a bigger percentage of people out there that are willing to make those sacrifices and be that weird person, like Bob said, the one that is taking advantage of opportunities to learn a little something more someplace, no matter where it is, whether it's even if it's just picking up a book or picking up an article someplace, and or you know, looking online or reading articles online, listening to a lot of other podcasts and stuff online to help build their knowledge base. Again, the people that do that they're the sort of outcast of EMS. They're the sidelines of that. So how do we get more people interested and involved in taking advantage of all this free stuff that's out there to help them be better providers and you know, more rounded EMS professional without having to pay them, you know, every time they attend something or open up a book?
Well, why is having to pay them a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing, but the reality of it is that agencies don't have these gigantic budgets to pay employees to attend every single educational event and send them to every conference or seminar that's out there. And then you've got places where we still have a big portion of EMS that is volunteer, and they're not getting paid to be on the ambulance, never mind getting continuing education. So where's their motivation to do it? And how do we get them to take part in it?
The getting paid, I see both sides.
Sure.
I don't want to use my personal vacation time to go to a conference. I don't expect to get paid extra, but I don't want to have to take my, you know, vacation when I could spend with be with my family to go to a conference. Yeah. Even though I really love going to conferences, I always learn great. It's just, you know, meeting people. So I'm willing to go halfway. And Greg Fries, and I didn't get to see his presentation at the Web Summit, but his presentation at EMS Today, he kept going back to free food. Like, we'll give you some bad Con Ed, but we're going to feed you for it. You like donuts, you know, greasy pizza, we'll get you a sandwich platter, all the stuff that we're going to get with the EMS week next week.
Yeah.
So somewhere to lure people in, you know, and I don't know if it's something that, if it's an intrinsic motivation, you either have it or, you know, I think some people can be swayed. Yeah, it works to get people in there. Are they, you know...
Yeah, I mean,
are they really going to get anything out of it?
Well, you mentioned that, Bob, and it's actually one of the bigger hospitals up by me that does CME, especially med control type CME, where there's certain doctors that are actually pretty good docs, pretty good presenters, speakers, and really get the audience involved in what they're talking about, and they serve pizza, and it gets to the point where people complain, "Oh, pizza again." you know, but they're getting, you're getting fed. There's pizza and there's soda, and you're getting, you know, a good 2 hours worth of what I think is pretty good continuing ed that applies to your recertification requirements, and they're feeding you. And again, like you said, you're not getting paid, but at least there's some type of incentive, whereas other hostels might do the same type of training, but they're not offering any type of, you know, any type of food. And I think, and I do notice that does seem to be a theme where, especially when it's a hospital-run type of continuing education, where when you get there, they have some type of layout of food or beverages or something like that going on, maybe a free pen. You know, they're trying to get you there. Somehow offering you some type of incentive other than just the education, you know. So I guess that does work, you know, to a point of getting them there.
Well, are you going for the education or are you going for the food? If you're going for education that happens to have food there, that's different from
pizza. I mean, well, I wouldn't travel. Yeah, I wouldn't travel with to some of these hospitals just for a slice of pizza. But you know,
right. I think that's what the difference is. If we're going to give you crappy education, but you'll get a ticket punch and we'll feed you. So you kind of go more to get your ticket punched and to get fed than to try to learn something that you'll be able to apply later.
Yeah. I like this theme to a point of what they're doing this year. To me, I still feel, Josh mentioned this early on, you know, I feel like EMS Week is just lumped in and everybody else has a hand in it beyond just the ambulances, beyond just the paramedics and the EMTs and even the dispatchers at that point. You know, it's like we're kind of bundled in with everything and everybody's taking part in it. You've got get-togethers and functions and everything and everybody else is showing up, you know, on top of EMS. You know, and I just think we kind of get lumped into it, and there's no focus on EMS itself. And, you know, but I think that's something that's been going on as long as I can remember, and I don't see that really changing anytime soon. But that's something I feel has been going on for quite a while, where we kind of got to share the week with everybody else.
Well, but ASAP is putting it on. It's the doctors. It's not NAEMT. I mean, they participate, but it's not paramedics and EMTs that are started this. It was emergency physicians.
Right. But that's my point, though.
That's
the thing, though. And Josh mentioned this a lot, too, where is our national body to take the reins and you know, be the force behind all this? You know, why does it have to be under the umbrella of other larger agencies that, you know, aren't 100% EMS focused?
A lot of people in ASAP used to be medics, but realized that it wasn't a promising career.
That didn't pay enough.
Oh, that's really, that hurts.
Well, I mean, listen, it makes sense, though. I mean, you can't blame them. What's that, Tim?
One of the problems is administrators and educators provide us with rules. Oh, you can't do this because, you know, you'll get in trouble if you do it. And, you know, it's complete nonsense some of the time. We don't ask questions. We encourage people from asking questions. And then we tell them, oh, you know, this just cannot be done. Why not? Oh, you don't ask that.
Just do what you're told.
Plenty of places I would never work, not because I wouldn't go there, but because they would never have me, because it's just not the way they do things. You don't ask questions. You keep your head down. You don't make waves. Why?
I mean, well, that comes
what
from
about
that
taking
show.
Care of patients requires
and
you to.
Tim, that is. You know, that's our roots in the sort of the paramilitary organizations of, you know, of these corps that are emergency services. You know, you can't have firefighters in the midst of a fire
asking why. Although a lot of places are getting more and more enlightened and saying, listen, you know, we need that input from the ranks. We need those questions from the ranks. If somebody's not going to answer, why? But in the midst of fighting that fire, you got to follow your instructions. You can't ask why. And we straddle that in between, that gray area between this
not
medical
really.
Profession. Yeah, but we do go to, we do address emergencies, and our roots are from this, the roots of the municipalities. Yeah, there's a volunteer route. I won't, that's not part of this. I definitely acknowledge that there's a volunteer route of where we started. But as EMS, as the DOTs envisioned us, we were a branch out of both hospitals and fire departments putting out ambulances to aid the community. And in that sense, there was a regimented structure. You had your people in the field, you had your lieutenants, you had your captains, you had that structure. And whenever you have that structure where you label people by these military names, you have this, that's why we're called a paramilitary organization. I mean, there's a reason for that.
Because we work alongside doctors. Para meaning alongside, medic meaning doctor, not paramilitary.
Yes.
And
but,
you have any bureaucracy has the same problems. It's not just military.
No, but EMS is, their roots come out of that, their structure. Maybe the roots is a confusing statement. Their structure. Yes, you need to do all of this stuff. You're absolutely right. But the statement is that right now, 90% of the people that work in EMS, or 99%, I'm sure, have somebody who's in charge of them that's either a lieutenant or a captain or a chief or something along that line. And it goes up, and it mimics that. And within that world, Tim, is what I'm saying is this, mine is not to reason why, mine is just to do or die. Is that right for us? Absolutely not. We should be hands of the doctor. We should be totally within the medical field. We should be recognized as that extension of the emergency room coming to your home. But the facts are, we're not. And until we get those facts changed around, we're going to have this sort of reluctance to question why things are done a certain way.
I've never viewed the Charge of the Light Brigade as something that was praising mine is not to reason why, mine is but to do or die, but rather ridiculing it because it is ridiculous. And when we see it, we need to eliminate it. When we see it, we need to eliminate it.
I agree, but you're not going to get rid of captains and lieutenants and that structure right now.
We can educate them. If they're too stupid to think about what they're doing, they shouldn't be in positions of authority.
But you know
what? The principles should not be the rule.
Yes. Okay.
Well, listen, guys, I'm going to end it there because we only got about another minute or so. I know we're a little bit all over the place tonight, trying to focus a little bit on the theme, I think it's part of that, I believe, and I like to believe it, that because, I mean, listen, the four of us are passionate about what we do and our points of view when it comes to this, and, again, we're not going to get to, I guess, an answer, in this hour podcast, but... hopefully we'll get some free food during EMS week and maybe get some free education at the same time, so thanks for joining me. I don't really have any kind of big strokes of wisdom for this week's podcast other than to say that, just happy EMS week and, try to promote it wherever you go. Try to promote the profession and make yourself better for the profession, I guess I should say.
and you have a minute, and I'm going to say that everybody here has a point. And the thing, the takeaway is, the takeaway is right up Tim's alley. Ask questions. If you don't see something being done the way you want it to be done or the way you think it should be done, ask questions. If you don't understand something, ask questions. Elevate us. You know, it's
educate
our job
yourself.
This week. Educate yourself.
Absolutely.
It's our job this week to do that.
What we do is take care of patients, and when we're following orders that aren't in the best interest of the patients and are designed to protect the organization from the patient, there's something very wrong with that. Our patients deserve better.
Yeah, that's good. Good point, Tim. Thank you. All right, guys, let's just end it there. I just want to remind everybody, the EMS Web Summit was last week on Thursday, and I will be having links and whatnot going out to the attendees shortly to get the downloads of the handouts and any certificates of completion that you might have for any of the sessions that you took. And I am going to be working this week to get the sessions formatted to have a limited time to replay individual sessions for people that might have missed it. And I'll be sending special links to each speaker that they want to go ahead and let their friends and colleagues and whatnot know that that session's on a replay. The replay is only going to be, I'm only going to have it up for a limited amount of time. And then I'm taking it down, but the speakers can have it up on their websites or blogs or whatever long they want. You know, it's up to them since they it's their, you know, their voice and their presentation. But so just keeping an eye out for the links for the handouts for those of you that have registered on the Summit webpage. You'll be getting some links shortly on that. So other than that, that's pretty much it, guys. Have a great night. Thanks for joining me, and maybe we'll see you all next week. Josh, I know I'll see you next week. And hopefully next week we'll start off, maybe we'll give that new platform a go-around. All right, guys, that's it for tonight. Again, thanks for joining me. I'm really out of time here, hitting the wall. So happy EMS week, and this is Jim Hoffman for EMS Office Hours, and as always, stay safe.